Mic check, testing, testing. What the flying fuck? The hell was that shit? It was all just static. God damn it. I've never done 2 mic checks before. Alright, okay, I can see from the animation it's working out. Okay, this is what would normally be the mic check where I whine about how there's nobody here and introduce the other Jennifer, who's not a crazy fucking asshole, who doesn't make any money, so she has to sell the peanut butter and jelly quarters for a quarter. Go get them. She also spikes some of your mochas, hoping for tips. And let's see. So this is one of those bonus episodes that you guys, if I go by my analytics, that you people freaking hate. But I don't know. I consider them a little necessary. And in this case, well, you'll see. Anyway, I don't know. Go to the bathroom or something. There's a ad. It's the Anchor people, Spotify. They're my only sponsor. So they pay the bills, as it were. Keep the light on. The little indicator light on the microphone. All right. Well, enjoy the ad. I'll be back with the intro. Alright, this is bonus episode number 1, which is the fourth episode of season 2. I never really figured out whether I was going to count the bonus episodes or jump over them, but I've been counting them, so now for consistency I count them. Anyway, where are we at? So I hope you guys liked the ad. Alright, so, right, so the fictional barista Jennifer is over there with her little stack of peanut butter and jelly quarters for a quarter, making you all mochas. And I paid earlier, so you guys can just go up there and get a mocha. Don't be dicks about it, though. Don't add too much shit, because she's pretty much already paid. In fact, if you're going to pay for it, just give her the tip. All right, let me see. So this is a bonus. This is, I had all these dating apps. I had 6 or 7 of them, depending on when. Hot or Not, or Badu, or whatever it was, got all annoying and preachy, so I got rid of it. No, really. Anyway, so I met a lot of people, and they generally, mostly what happens is they don't learn about my, shall we say, situation, and they, you know, reject me or ghost me or whatever for their own reasons. Or maybe they do figure it out. Because I really only told a couple people, and so if you figured it out, I don't even think you're like a particularly smart person for figuring it out. I just think you're a cynical person who is like looking for negativity in the universe. But I guess I'm a little biased because I think I'm just me. Anyway, once in a while I meet someone. So there was the crazy situation with that woman in LA called Erica. Maybe a future episode I'll talk about that. And this bonus, we're going to talk about Misty, better known as Michelle T. I don't remember her last name. It's not really important. I don't think there's anything she could do about it if I mentioned her real name or even her like location, by the way, near Venice in LA. And let me see, what else can I say? All right, so we knew each other for like 2 days, less than 3, certainly. We had a couple of ridiculously long phone conversations. Like, I talk on the phone with my mom for a couple of hours, you know, till your hand is numb. Maybe longer. I have a feeling the 2 conversations I had with her were longer than the conversations I had with my mom. And since she isn't my mom, In general, that's a little unusual. Anyway, she accuses me of things, and some of you who know me will be like, well, I know you, and she's telling the truth. Well, see, that's part of the gaslight, because sure, it might occur, like I was just talking with Natalie about how maybe, you know, Rob moves fast. Well, maybe. Maybe I like a person and say nice things, or maybe I know that, you know, if that person is a mature person and they're being honest with me, and since I know that I'm being honest, I don't necessarily think I'm mature though, but I know I'm honest. You're going to find out the truth if I'm successful and get your attention. So I might as well just tell the truth, right? Anyway, so I think we're both mature. I assume we're both mature adults because we're in our 40s. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you because I only want to date people within, you know, 10 years either direction of my age. So if you're somewhere between 35 and 57. Anyway, so I assume you're mature at this point. You're more than 35 years old. And we're chit-chatting, and, you know, we've all been knocked around by people in the past, or we wouldn't be single in our middle age or whatever the hell we are. Anyway, this person that we're talking about today is named Michelle, and she wrote this ridiculously long email. Shit, this introduction is 5 fucking minutes long. All right, it's going to take forever to upload this shit. Long story short, is that we just had these long conversations, and in general, she asked me questions, and the questions, I don't know how well you know me, but in general, the questions, the answers are our story. And so if I'm telling you a story that you asked for, you can't, I don't think, accuse me of dominating the conversation and not letting you have a word in edgewise. I mean, it's a legitimate criticism, and I've been criticized, and I've been guilty of this. But in the case of Michelle, that did not come up. Plus, she has a problem where she wants to be the goddamn superior person. Whereas I don't have this problem. I don't care if I'm the superior person. I think we're both adults. I think we're both, you know, mature. And if you ask me a question and I think I'm impressing you by telling you a story or something, or I think I'm making you laugh, and in fact, if you do laugh, you're just egging me on. You can't, I don't think, after that, act as though I did something wrong. Well, you laugh at my jokes, and then later essentially accuse me of not taking life seriously. Hey, fuck you too. All right, this introduction took too long. So, I've spent the last, I don't know, month and a half, however long it's been since the crazy bitch wrote this long fucking James A. Michener email. Oh my god, it's so long. I spent a great deal of time thinking about making this podcast, and I've thought about how to frame it. Like, would I just read it straight without, you know, because it's going to be really hard, because she's basically saying things, and I know what really happened, and it's going to be a matter of perspective. Like, she might be telling the truth from a certain way of looking at it, but from the whole picture, like, for example, her accusing me of moving too fast, it's been 2 days. That's complete projection on her part. If you ask me about my mom, and my mother is dead, and I talk about it, or if you ask me about my childhood, and I've got the two brothers, then I've got the other brother that I learned about when I was an adult, these are like long stories. And to me, they are stories. So it's not like any more intimate for me to talk about, you know, a story from my childhood or about my family as it would be a story that I made up, like a fiction. So I don't know what the hell that crazy, I don't know what she was doing. But a lot of her complaints amount to projection, or I almost want to say wishful thinking. Like, for her to suggest that I was moving fast or something after 2 days, I didn't even have time. Even in an ideal situation where I think I'm clicking with someone, I didn't have time to move super fast with her. And anyway, what happened to our relationship had nothing to do with my behavior. It had to do with her. I was telling her a story that my friend Robbie told me that more or less corresponded with the time he was conceived. So 46 fucking years ago. And that crazy fucking bitch fucking had the nerve to call fucking bullshit on the story. And she kept, like, insisting. And she kept pointing out bullshit about the thing. And it had nothing to do with nothing. And I basically folded. I was like, fine, you know, it's second, third hand story. I don't know details. It was 46 years in the past, you know, and she basically called me like an anti-vaxxer for, quote, believing that story. And so in a sense, she called Robbie and his parents liars because it's a, from their perspective, the way the story is told is a true story, and she called me an idiot for believing it. And so I hung up. We were on the phone. So I hung up. I kept trying to basically come out from under it. I was like, fine, you know, I guess you don't like that story. You know, we'll move to the next topic. And she wouldn't let go. She kept bringing it up. So then I fucking hung up. And I swear, I didn't just hang up. I was like being tortured. Oh, I remember that like Harry Potter scene where they're like torturing that spider or whatever to make the point about, you know, the magic you're not supposed to use or whatever. I felt like that fucking spider. Like, just make it stop. Please stop complaining about the story. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not about me. It's just a story I heard. No, like somebody's grandma did this shitty thing, at least in the story. Anyway, she wouldn't let go, so I hung up. And then she called back, and then she had the nerve to pretend that her phone rang and she picked up like I called her. Like, I'm not going to know that she called me. I said, from my perspective, it looked like my phone rang. Like, I even let her have it, kind of. I'm like, okay, you know, you can have that point, whatever. Even though I know for a fact she fucking called me back. And then I thought she would let it go. Like, if a person hangs up on you over basically a conversation thing, you let it go and you move on to the next. No? Why would you even call that person back? They hung up on you. Like, some people consider being hung up on super duper rude. Or maybe she thought that my phone just dropped the call. I was like, please stop, please. It's okay. I don't, you know, whatever. I'm not married to this story. Just, can we move on? And she kept calling bullshit. She just kept. And then when she called back, I thought it was over. She brought it back up. She kept doing it. Oh, it was so painful. And I don't know how long that second conversation was. It couldn't have been very long. And anyway, I hung up again. And I think she immediately started writing this ridiculously long email, and then she sent it as soon as it was finished, because I got it sometime in the night. And those two phone conversations, like, you know, basically a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night, whatever they were consecutive. We knew each other like two days, less than three. All right. So I'm going to read this long ass fucking email. This introduction is 10 minutes. Alright, there's not going to be any lesbian fucking poetry this time. The whole content of this thing is not worthy of that. The lesbian poetry is like I say, is a hymnal. This is just fucking nonsense. I took screenshots on the other phone of the email. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hop on the screenshot. All right, I'm going to make sure I don't accidentally read the last paragraph twice. I did a thing. All right, so here we go. So what I'm going to do, hopefully, because it's ridiculously long, this email she sent, you know somebody for 2 days and they hang up on you twice, you let it fucking go, no? She fucking sent this ridiculously long email. I took screenshots. It's like 5 fucking pages of screenshot with a really small font. Anyway, so I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to reply. Or I'm just going to sigh, or a vein in my head will break and I'll die. And I didn't rhyme on purpose. Ugh, alright, so it says Michelle T. to Robert W., or R. Wesley Edwards. Alright, we're already a minute and 20 seconds, I haven't even started. This is Michelle talking. After we met online a couple days ago, you went from 0 to 60 at breakneck speed and started acting like we were already in a serious relationship and having sex. We barely knew each other, but that did not matter since you weren't interested in me or getting to know me. You only needed a vague impression of me, which you used as a doll or puppet onto which you projected your fantasies of what your perfect girlfriend would be like. You were pursuing an imaginary serious relationship with me, or the idea of me, and acting jealous, possessive, obsessive, and controlling. You wanted to be in constant contact 24/7. You did not want me to sleep, work, eat meals, or buy groceries. You seemed a little jealous and bereft that I had to do anything other than talk to you, to the point that I felt hounded and under siege and was starting to feel unsafe, and that perhaps I needed to cut things off with you to protect my own sanity. All right, so that's the first long paragraph. Let me, you know what? I'll reply to that. Yeah, that didn't fucking happen. I don't know what she's talking about. She's... If you say, for example, if you say you'll be back in 5 minutes, and then like 2 hours later, you haven't come back, and I say, hey, are you okay? I thought you'd be back. That's not me fucking hounding you. That's me saying, you know, what happened to 15 minutes or what happened to 5 minutes? Anyway, most of the things she's talking about happened when she went to go get groceries or something. And I thought we were just like chit-chatting back and forth. I was in no way hounding her. I was like, hey, what'd you get? You know, because she was getting groceries and she had her phone with her. Give me a break. You can't like talk to somebody like your buddies and then use it against them. All right, let's go to the next paragraph, I guess. We'll just... So the second paragraph. Now, this is the second night. When she says last night, she's talking about the conversation I talked about in the fucking intro. No, it's her talking. Last night, I was still trying to give you the benefit of the doubt and thinking maybe you were feeling desperate for human contact because of the quarantine. But also felt uneasy and needed to pay attention to warning bells going off and thought that it may just not be feasible to pursue anything with you since you had jumped so far ahead into an imaginary relationship while trying to keep me texting or email or talking to you nonstop to the point that you acted like it was unreasonable of me to spend 45 minutes cooking or eating dinner rather than paying attention to you. I came back to the phone and computer to find a zillion messages from you saying hi and are you still busy and a bunch of other short comments. When I went into Ralph's, I told you I'd call you when I was done, and at the cash register saw you texted me, what did you buy? It was feeling creepy that you did not give me 15 minutes to do my grocery shopping and then get back to you, but we're basically asking, where are you? Are you done yet? All right, that's the second paragraph. I guess we can talk about that too. Yeah, I thought we were friends. Holy shit. There is no way in hell she interpreted those fucking text messages as hounding her. I have a buddy that I met in high school. If he told me he was going to the store, I would message him, you know, hey, what'd you get? Like, why would you even tell me you were going to the store? You could just say, I'll be back in a couple hours. Or you could just not respond. You know what happens to a person who doesn't respond to me when I talk to them? I give up. We were talking. I swear to God. She sent these really long chat messages through whatever service, and then she started sending these really relatively long emails, not as long as this. And I like reading, and I like getting a bunch of feedback and stuff from a person, a lot of meat to sink my teeth into, something to talk about. So what am I supposed to do? Apologize for thinking that we were on the same wavelength and thinking that we were having a conversation? Christ almighty. Now, let me see here. All right, so we'll do the third paragraph since I guess 10 minutes isn't too bad for these sections. All right, so now... I'm going to read it, but you have to be aware. She's kind of out of touch with reality because she's like lying in some places and it's really obvious. And the thing that bothers me is there's two of us. She's sending an email to me and I'm the only other person involved. So I'm going to know she's lying. What is she going to do? Think I'm just going to believe her and doubt my own self? That's why this episode might be called something, something, gaslight, something, something. So here she goes. This is the third paragraph, I guess. The next one. On Tuesday night, when we spoke on the phone, I said almost nothing for the first 90 minutes. I wasn't able to, regardless of whether I wanted to. You kept talking nonstop and did not really need me to be there. At some point, I wanted to reply to a comment you made that Judaism does not have people recruiting new members, which I did, but you kept interrupting and talking over me. So it was a little frustrating to try to have a conversation with you since you were acting more like you were doing a solo podcast rather than having a conversation with another person. Hey, guess what? Michelle knows about the podcast. It's one of the reasons I waited before reading this because I assume she'll unsubscribe if she was ever subscribed or forget I exist because I honestly don't want to hear from this crazy fucking bitch. Hey, by the way, Michelle, if you're out there, fuck you, you crazy bitch. All right, if you ask me a question and the answer to the question is a story, I may actually tell you that the answer is a story. And if the story takes 5 minutes or 90 minutes or whatever, it will take however long it takes. It did not take 90 minutes. And she's doing this thing where she wants to be the superior person. If you have nothing to add because you're a boring piece of shit person, and you keep asking the storyteller who has the stories and tells the jokes, you know, if you keep asking them questions, especially about details in the story, they might answer you. You're being a real asshole to act like they dominated the conversation when, as I said earlier, if you're egging the person on. Okay, for example, if you go and see a comedian and they talk for 40 minutes and then you leave and go, wow, that guy can talk. You fucking went there on purpose and paid. Come on. All right, we're going to do one more and then I'll break the section because I don't know how long it can be. Anyway, okay, so then, okay, we're back to her, whatever the next paragraph, I guess 4. Last night, after trying not to let me do anything but talks or text to you for 24 hours straight, you sent me several concerning messages that had me really questioning your sanity. You said you were crying because I was so nice to you to read your stories, which seems like a bizarre overreaction. You're an author. Okay, hold on. You're an author. We were considering dating. You sent me a couple short stories that were only a few pages long. Oh, they're only one page long. Yep, sorry. They were only a few pages long, so it seems only natural that I'd take a few minutes to read them. Then you sent me the... Oh, it's actually... I can't read it without stopping, sorry. Then you sent me the lesbian porn movie shoot story, which was kind of annoying to read since I'm not a lesbian or straight male. So why would I possibly be interested in that? It was just weird and made me a little uncomfortable to read, so I skimmed it after the first page. You also sent me a text that you were taking off your pants with no context, like changing into pajamas, which you explained later when I asked, why did you send me that text? She says, it was just creepy and odd. Yeah, she's lying. She's taking stuff that was intended to be a joke and pretending that I'm doing... She's pretending because she's full of shit. At most, I was kidding. And if we're talking on the phone, do you have any idea how many times I've talked to girls and they literally try to make me basically sex talk to them? It happens more often than you would think. It happens more often than I would think. So maybe once in a while, a girl figures out that I'm a storyteller, and then maybe she's in the mood and she wants to hear it. Okay. Anyway, think about that lesbian movie shoot thing. Other women like it. She is the first woman who didn't like it. So, all right. Well, this is close to 10 minutes, so we'll go to another section. All right, so we're back. Sorry. Wow, it takes a really long time to render these, especially when they're 10 minutes. So, all right, where were we? I don't know how many paragraphs we're in. I think we're on 5. Don't quote me or don't... I don't know. I'm sorry. So she... All right, so in the last one she mentioned... okay, so I wrote this little piece of erotica specifically because I wondered... I assume it's really easy. For someone who's a writer, there's stuff that's hard and there's stuff that's easy, and it probably varies for different people. Erotica should probably be easy for all of us because anybody who can visualize something can certainly visualize something like sex. So some people probably writing like a journalism, like they're a reporter. For some people that might be easier. For me, I don't know. Maybe writing, you know, my own histories, my own stories, or things I've seen, or you know, if I'm chit-chatting with someone, talking about a story, something that happened to me, or, you know, make something up and then just describe the things around you, which is probably a lot of especially the shorter stories, that's pretty much what I do. And, so, anyway, she was just not susceptible to the thing. You know what's weird about this is that she found it creepy that there was like lesbianism in that piece of erotica, whereas other women didn't care about that, whatever. I would not act like a prudish dick if someone, especially if I talked to a girl and she was a writer and she shared with me some erotica that involved gay sex. I wouldn't act like, see, what she's doing is I didn't share it with her to titillate her so much as that I had pretty much run out of other things to share with her and she had been reading the little short things I'd shared with her. So her feedback is a little weird because she's impugning my motivation when my motivation was, oh, here's another thing I wrote. And, you know, she's like acting like I, as if I wrote this thing specifically to offend her or something. So she's basically just a bigot. She basically just is an asshole. Anyway. And that's the whole point of this podcast, this bonus episode. This woman, Michelle T, is a goddamn asshole. All right, so next paragraph. I want to not be 10 minutes, though, because that took forever to render. All right, so the next paragraph. Also, the previous day, you sent me several messages with a lot of personal stuff about your childhood and family members, which made me concerned you suffer from depression and have a lack of boundaries. In general, while it's good to open up and share about your childhood with someone you're dating, people generally get to know each other over time and then share more intimate details of their lives, rather than bringing all the skeletons out of their closets on the first day of meeting someone online before even agreeing to go on a first date. All right, you ask me a question about my history or my brothers or something, I just reply. I just tell you the story. I don't have any goddamn skeletons in my closet. I haven't done anything wrong. As far as I'm concerned, I don't lie. I can tell you the last thing I lied about. I'll tell you. I tried to make the people at Costco think that the girl I was with, my girlfriend at the time, I tried to make them think that her dad, my Ersatz's father-in-law, lived at the same address as us, so that they would give him a card. But it didn't matter, and it was completely pointless, since he wouldn't have gone to Costco by himself. Laura and or I would have gone with him. And so they didn't play along. Laura and her dad didn't really understand what I was doing, and they didn't play along. And then it was like, it was ridiculous. This is the reason I don't lie. People are going to find out, and I will just be embarrassed. So now, in that case, I just, you know, they just all know I lied. But if I were lying about an embarrassing situation, then you're going to find out that I lied. So now I'm a dick that lied. And you're going to know about the embarrassing situation. You're going to know the real truth. So anyway, I don't know what her problem is. There's no skeletons in my closet. She asked me a story. I told her about how I'm a middle child. I have a younger brother, older brother. A few Thanksgivings ago, I learned I have another brother. Whatever. Just the stuff people talk about when they're getting to know each other. She's just being a jerk. If you're getting to know someone and you're learning their stories, and then after they get pissed off at you because you won't let some stupid story thing go, and you keep basically calling them an idiot and calling their friend a liar, and then you try to pretend that you're the aggrieved party, that's what she's doing. It's really frustrating. I don't know. All right, so this next one is actually pretty long, so it had to be on its own little screenshot. So now we're back to, I guess, Wednesday, because she's mentioned it. Oi, now she's going to talk about the story that I told her, where she basically called bullshit and then was a complete asshole to me because she doesn't just act like an audience member. And then in doing so, she basically called me an idiot, and she called my friend Robbie and his parents liars. Okay, so here we go. Near the end of the conversation last night, she put WED in parentheses. You told me that implausible story on how Robbie's grandma canceled his parents' adoption to adopt another baby, then asked my opinion on the illogical conclusion, quote, isn't that terrible that Robbie's an only child because his grandma torpedoed his parents' adoption, end quote. Okay, that's not my exact words, so she's not even using the quote marks correctly. But we'll let it slide. I said nothing in that story makes sense. It's also implausible. And moreover, even if it actually happened that way, Robbie's parents could have adopted another baby at any point in time during the next 25 years. So they obviously chose not to. And she put that in quotes, or she ended another quote inappropriately for some dumb reason. Yeah, she didn't start that as a quote, and then she ended a quote. Okay, never mind. Moving on. She says, so you actually asked my opinion and I responded. Okay, well, I'm sorry to interrupt this in the middle of the paragraph, but I asked her opinion like you do when you say, hey, isn't that weird? You know, and the other person, the audience member, would be like, yeah, that's weird. They're not going to say, oh, you know what? I just calculated that the odds of that being a real story are really nil, and you're a fucking moron and your friend's a liar. No one does that. That person is an asshole. A person would be like, oh my God, I can't believe. No. No, Michelle, you fucking idiot. You are an asshole. You can't put that on me. Okay, anyway. You reacted by continuously screaming at me and not letting me speak. Uh-huh. This is what really happened, Michelle. I begged you to stop critiquing the story and calling me a moron and my friend and his parents liars. I begged you to let it go. I told you that it was second or third hand information. I told you that I could have forgotten things because it was a long time since Robbie told me. I told you that his parents told him the story and they might have, you know, left out details. Or, you know, I said, you know what? It doesn't matter. Forget I said it. I wasn't screaming at you like you have to believe it and shoving it down your throat. I was like screaming in pain, if I was screaming at all. It was like you were torturing me. I'm talking to her, not the audience. Okay, podcast guys. So Michelle's being an asshole. Fuck her. She says that without letting her speak. You did not even want to let me say what I just wrote here. Bullshit. I heard you. You said it 8 times. You fucking nutcase. You evil, vile little nutcase. Anyway, back to her. I then tried to tell you that the general concept of the discussion is what I do for a living. Yeah, she's some kind of lawyer dumbass. I have to spend my time breaking down implausible stories from opposing parties and even my own clients to get to the truth. Yes, she's got a superiority complex. She thinks she's the freaking great eye of Nod and she can just see the truth. So she wants to convince me that she's some kind of uber autistic fucking person with like basically a superpower, but at the same time that she's some kind of sympathetic character in this thing. No, she's just an asshole. She's just a goddamn asshole. She doesn't even have, like, autism or Asperger's to use as some kind of an excuse for being a jerk. She's just a jerk. She's trying to pretend that she's some kind of victim. There's no victim here. She was just being a jerk to me. I hung up the phone. Then she was a jerk to me again. First of all, she called back and then pretended that I called her. And then she was a jerk again and I hung up. And then she wrote this fucking email. Where was I? Sorry. See, now it's going to be 10 minutes again. God damn it. So I then tried to tell you what she's doing, so hold on, get to the truth. Okay, so now, I'm sorry, I didn't want to reread the same thing. Okay, here we are. I'm also an atheist and believe in science and facts, so I just can't listen to nonsense and pretend it's real.
Dude, it's a story, and it is real. You're just wrong. You're just wrong, and you're full of shit, and you're a jerk who can't just listen to a goddamn story. Here we go, back to her. But you would not let me speak at all last night. You just kept shrieking at me that things were different in the 70s.
I said maybe it was different in the 70s. I was really just trying to get out from under her being a crazy nonsense asshole.
And she put 70 apostrophe S, even though the apostrophe would be apostrophe 70 S.
70s are plural, and the apostrophe is taking the place of the 19.
So screw you, Michelle, you fucking idiot. Anyway, things are different in the 70s, the story is secondhand, and Robbie's grandma is a terrible person, you want me to just agree with that, which is really all beside the point. No, no, the whole story is beside the point, and the point is Robbie's grandma is an asshole, and here's one story. Oh my god, I shouldn't have told you any stories, you're a shit audience. Anyway, she said, well, it's beside the point. You asked what I thought about something. I started trying to tell you, and you flipped out at me for even speaking or having an opinion or one based on logic.
No, you're just a jerk. And it's not based on logic. You called me. She said that I was like an anti-vaxxer for believing this story, which is to say that Robbie's a liar, his parents are a liar, and I'm an idiot. Not logic. You're just a jerk. You don't know how things were. You don't know about the adoption agency. You know nothing, Michelle. You're just an idiot.
Anyway, back to this. Then you hung up on me. Yeah, I did it twice, you fucking asshole. And immediately deleted me as a match in Hinge.
I should have deleted you as a match in Hinge after we were talking in text.
For what it's worth.
Because people on Hinge can see that you're on even if you're not talking to them. There's like a little green circle, I think. Same with OkCupid. So if I don't delete you and you see that I'm on, then that means that you think that I might be talking to someone who isn't you. So yeah, I should have just gotten rid of her early on.
Anyway, back to her. God damn it, it's more than 10 minutes. You were basically announcing you think I'm a terrible person for even being a person who thinks and speaks rather than being a mannequin who can't do any such things.
Okay, you know what? She's just full of shit. She was being an asshole. She was being a bitch. She was being unfair to the person telling the story. She was not being charitable at all. She thinks she knows everything, and she was being a jerk. She was being nitpicky about a story that doesn't require being nitpicky.
She just, that's just what happened. And I was like, oh, please make it stop, please. Yeah, okay. I was like trying to let her have the points. I was like, okay, fine. I don't care anymore. You know, whatever. And then I even tried to say, you know what? Here's another terrible story. Robbie and I saved his grandma's life, and she had the nerve to basically berate us for, like, I don't know what, not somehow magically dressing her before letting the EMTs in? All right. Well, anyway, this is 12 minutes now. 12 and a half minutes. I don't know how I can get through this without having a fucking heart attack. Jesus Christ, I can't believe how long this goddamn thing is. Alright, let's... I'm just gonna go to the next section. Let's see. So, this was the one that was too long by itself. Da, da, da. Personal stuff. Here's the long one. Alright. Oh, we're getting close to the end, people. Alright, here we go. So, this page has two paragraphs on it. One, by her standards, short, and one long, so... Alright, this is Michelle talking. So after making me concerned you were emotionally unstable and that it was not going to be possible to pursue any sort of relationship with you or even get to the point of having a first date, you staged a really crazy psychodrama out of thin air and ended things. Okay, I told you guys. She fucking questioned the fucking story. I'm a writer. She fucking questioned a fucking story, and it wasn't like she questioned a story I wrote. Like, Jennifer Peehan, if you guys pointed out the gigantic plot hole, which I'm shocked nobody has, or very few people even know there's a plot hole. Anyway, if you did, that would be one thing. In this case, that was a true story. There might be some details I'm sketchy on because it's been a long time since I heard it, and that it's second or third hand, fourth hand, whatever. But, no, there's no psychodrama. I wanted her to stop attacking the story and storyteller. That's all. We needed to move on. I was like, okay, we need to move on. And no. And it just got worse. I'll basically stop torturing me with your insane ramblings about thinking you know everything about everything and how this story couldn't have happened. You goddamn asshole. All right. Psychodrama out of thin air and ended things. Yes, I fucking hung up on you. And then I had to hung up on you again. All right, back to her. Just want to thank you for doing that. Yeah, I should have never talked to you, you goddamn waste of time. All right, anyway, sorry, back to her. You reminded me to trust my instincts when something looks like it's probably not going to work out, and when I hear warning bells about the need to protect my own safety. This insinuating that she was somehow unsafe talking to a person on the internet who knew almost nothing about her is just part of this whole... talk about psychodrama. It is fucking ridiculous for her to expect anyone to think she is any kind of victim in this. She's just having phone conversations with a stranger. She's not a victim. I knew nothing. I knew her name, maybe some things about her work, and I knew that she was in, like, Venice, whatever, LA area. That's it. Fucking crazy bitch. Warning bells, protect my own safety. Right. She has a semicolon. Most people don't use semicolons because most people don't use them correctly. Anyway, and you took me out of that zone of feeling uncomfortable and that I needed to make a decision on whether to keep interacting with you since you made it for me and it was the right decision. No, you were being a complete asshole, and I don't know how to react to people who are complete assholes. Now you're weird. You shouldn't even be emailing somebody who's basically given up on you. You should just let it go and move on with your dumb life, Michelle. What are you doing? There's two of us. For you to act like this is for you to be lying and expect me, the recipient, to think somehow that your version is the true version and to not have any sense of self to defend myself. Except I don't give a shit because I don't. I didn't even really read it. I just knew it was full of nonsense. All right, well, it's 3.5 minutes, so I guess I'll read the next paragraph at the risk of going over 10 minutes again. Next, she says, okay, I think... Okay, actually, this is the last one. This is the last paragraph in this part. And I don't know, maybe I'll read... there's another part. After I respond, which is really short, because I thought it was funny and I was going to post this to Twitter. After I responded, she responded again. Which, of course, she did. But I just ignored her reply. But anyway, I'm going to read the last paragraph of this James A. Michener fucking novel. Okay, here we go. You seem to be at odds with yourself, since you really want to be in a serious relationship with someone right this second. So if you meet a warm body who seems decent enough, you act like you're in love with that person, yet you don't want to get to know each other to see if a real relationship actually forms in real life. And you don't even want to have a conversation with another person. You just want an audience for you to perform as you do in your podcast, and you don't want anyone to express their opinion to you on anything, even when you request it, but just want them to repeat your own thoughts back to you. You also seem lost, depressed, and still dealing with a lot of childhood wounds. I think you're a well-meaning, nice person at heart, that you could use some therapy to deal with these problems that have you acting as your own worst enemy. So I hope you find a good therapist who can help you. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry about the tone of my voice. Michelle's still talking. In the meantime, you probably should not contact other women and put them through the same stress you put me through. I didn't put you through any stress, you psycho. Sorry, back to her. Trying to jump into an instant serious relationship with a total stranger, constantly hounding her so that she feels stalked while refusing to even have a normal interactive conversation with her so that you might start getting to know each other. Yeah, okay, so 5.5 minutes. And you know what I said to this ridiculously long email? I'll tell you. I said, this is crazy nonsense. You called me an idiot and my friend a liar. You owe me an apology, you pedantic jerk. And that, my friends, is the truth. And I'm actually getting tired. It's mostly about the rendering taking forever. So anyway, I'll come back and have an outro. Really sorry this doesn't have any lesbian poetry. I know you guys love that. I haven't the slightest idea what you guys love. There's probably one person. Anyway, thanks for listening. Oh, I'm sorry, there's going to be an outro. Be back. This is 6 minutes. Alright, well, this whole thing where she's victim playing and telling and insinuating that I'm some kind of abuser or stalker or whatever. And she, did I say victim playing? Yeah, that's a thing that people in fucking cults do. That's cultish behavior. And this thing, we're telling somebody that they shouldn't talk to people so that they don't, so that that person doesn't put the other people through the psychic trauma or that they need counseling. That's just gaslighting. That's just cruel. That she thinks she, I don't know what she thinks she's doing. Like, it's over for me, right? I hung up on you. I had to hang up on you again, twice. And then you had the nerve. Like, if it's over, it's over. You don't send a fucking email. Come on. I've never had the urge to, like, fucking, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's for accuracy at the end of a relationship. even if you don't think that closure is some kind of myth, which I think it is, you just don't get the other person's, you're not entitled to the other person's attention. You're not entitled to whatever the fuck it is Michelle thinks she's entitled to. That was 2 days. 2 days. She asks me questions, I tell her answers. I ask her things, she tells me things. You know, we had these relatively long text chats in the app. We had these relatively long emails back and forth, whatever. We had a couple of talks, like, in your text messages. And we had these ridiculously freaking long telephone conversations. She's a fucking nutcase. I'm sorry, you guys, that this even exists. But this is like a theme this summer, this last year, where people like fucking come off to me as if I did something wrong when the whole substance of their complaint is nonsense and insanity. Like I said a few episodes ago, two episodes ago, Jennifer Morency with her goddamn acting like she's some kind of victim when I was making jokes. And the joke was as tame as, the beatings will continue until morale improves. This, like, your dad's in the Navy, or your, you know, the Navy itself is the dad. It's like a dad joke. Anyway, same thing. Nothing unusual happened. Not really. You know, I told her jokes, she laughed, so I told her more jokes. I told her stories, she seemed to like them, she asked, I answered. You know, we were talking about a thing, I'm
I started telling the story about Robbie's thing where he was conceived, but and then there was an adoption in progress, and the grandma torpedoed it somehow, and a crazy woman just went crazy, and she thinks she knows everything. She thinks she's a superior person. She fucking isn't. If anyone needs goddamn counseling, it's people who don't realize how out of touch with fucking people in reality they are. She's I had so many instincts, and I didn't think that there was any chance of pursuing. Then why the hell did you call me, you crazy bitch? Why did you message me back? Such a dickhead. She sent me pictures of her groceries on the conveyor at the grocery store. So she was clearly in the moment when I was like, hey, what'd you buy, you know? And then she sent me a text, a picture. So, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, you're stalking me. I couldn't be gone for a minute. Oh, fuck you. I thought we were playing. You ass. All right. Sorry. Anyway, had to get this out. It was just like this really like insane email. And I don't know, free content, I guess, whatever. You guys don't send me anything, so I have to have the haters. All right, well, thanks again. Thanks for listening. All right, I'll post this ASAP. It's a little tiny bit after 5 on the 13th, Saturday the 13th. So this should be out. It's a bonus episode, so it doesn't have to come out on Wednesday at 7. And maybe I'll get back in the groove and write and record some more of these weekly thing. Season 2 is just such garbage right now, I guess. I'm sorry. All right. Once again, thanks for listening. Pick up your free mocha. Pick up your peanut butter and jelly square. Tip your barista. Don't forget to tip your barista. And hold on to your hats. There's going to be some goat noises.
This place is dangerous.
I am reality's whore!